This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time, Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for and by the LGBTI community. Big thank you to T for 6 at 6 at 6.30, obviously, and also Richard there for the latest in local news. In the studio tonight, we have a full house. Ian is here.
Hello.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello.
And Alex, too.
Bonsoir. We recently covered the presidential election in Tunisia, where an openly gay lawyer is running to lead the country, but is being opposed by a collective of LGBTI groups. But what is happening culturally in Tunisia that leads to such a split? Tonight we speak with Amin from Maljadeen, Tunisia, a non-government organisation working towards equality, human rights, bodily and sexual rights for the LGBTQI plus community and other marginalised groups in Tunisia.
Amin has some surprising ideas, like how homophobia can be used to make change and really has the power to bring change for the LGBT community. It's not just the president. Plus, we've got the latest on the election results for president.
Tunisia in northern Africa is often pointed to as a progressive country, but still criminalises homosexuality. Cultural acceptance of LGBTI people is low, but that doesn't stop some people fighting for visibility and change. One such group is Maljadeen Tunisia, and we spoke with their representative, Amin. We asked him what Maljadeen does and how they are working for the LGBTI community in Tunisia.
Maljadeen. Yeah, and it means like literally we exist. So it's an NGO founded like in 2015 and start working with the LGBTQIA plus community here in Tunisia, and especially focusing at first with capacity building of the community, where we do like a lot of workshops dealing with the gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, sexual security, and the legal frame here in Tunisia. And that was the first step. The second step was like to be present, to be more visible in public spaces. And we started like the Maljadeen Queer Film Festival event, which is a big event, and a festival of films and queer art from all over the global south. And so that's it mainly. But and of course, like we are like giving services to the queer community in Tunisia, like psychological care and health care and somehow like legal services, if in case needed, of course.
Okay. So the Queer Film Festival has been going on for 2 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And how is it received in the general public as well? Does it have a good reception, or what's the perception of the general public?
Yeah, well, we have a strategy like for the festival for these two editions. So the first edition was really very, very closed somehow. It focused on LGBTQIA plus community and allies. And the second edition was as well like closed but more open to the public, to the Tunisians somehow, because like the venues were really downtown Tunis. And the reception of the festival, we tried to be very strategic with the media. So we don't like do like interviews and everything with any local, I mean the media, but we do like with queer friendly and LGBT friendly media. So we had like good like reviews for the festival. We didn't really receive or had big problem or major problem with the festival somehow, like for example, homophobic like articles or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, the international reviews were really very positive and very supportive for the initiative.
That sounds like a really good initiative, trying to change the perception in society through the movies as well, and that's really good. And
yeah.
As far as you know, is there any other queer film festival in North Africa, or are you the only one?
Yeah, in North Africa. Yeah, North Africa is the only one. In the Middle East, there were another festival before the Mojadeen Queer Film Festival, the Kurdistan, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Palestinian, I guess, film festival. And this year, there is Cinema Fouad, I guess, in Lebanon, too.
Oh, right.
Which is, like, in its first edition, I guess, this year.
Yeah,
but in the region, the North African region, it's only in the queer film movie. And we have also here in Tunisia, the feminist artistic, like, festival, which is Shuftu Hanna. Held with Shuf, a feminist like NGO, working especially with the LGBT community.
I think there seems to be quite a lot happening. I'm interested as well, you know, because of the role of Tunisia in what was termed the Arab Springs in the early 2010s, there was a perception that Tunisia is a very open country. There's a lot of tourists, and it's quite liberal. So I think that's the perception that some people have. So why is there still a need for action in Tunisia for the LGBTIQ community?
Well, liberal in a way and open in a way, but that's with, of course, like, issues and topics like the LGBTQ+ topic. The majority of the citizens are homophobic somehow, and the legal frame is criminalizing it. So it's not that open for the LGBTQ+ community here in Tunisia.
That's Amin from LGBTI rights organisation Mojadeen Tunisia, and we've got more coming up from Amin. Just wanted to pick up there, so as you asked a question about the Arab Springs, give us a bit of, because I know we've actually got two of our team who've been to Tunisia, tell us a bit about the Arab Springs and what that means.
So,
Stefan.
Early 2010, it was a series of anti-government protests that started in Tunisia, mostly North Africa, Middle East, where they were trying to kind of go against the non-progressive governments at the time, and it just ended up that some governments were toppled by this, and a little bit more of a progressive agenda came in. Ian?
I guess when we think about it, it's quite a long time ago now. Not everyone will be familiar. Is it really 9 years ago?
Yeah.
It's a bit similar if people have been following what's happening in China and the protests against a non-democratic government in Hong Kong at the present time. But what happened in the Arab Spring is, yes, there were multiple countries and there was a great deal of optimism that this was the beginning of democracy coming into that part of the world.
And I'm sure the LGBT community at the time was also thinking, we've been waiting for so long.
Yeah. And so it's been really quite confusing as to what's happened since then, or really probably we've perhaps gone back in some cases we've gone back further, I think, in LGBT rights and in discrimination, and there hasn't certainly been the progress that we expected.
We're going to explore this a bit more with our guest Amin, and indeed he's got some interesting views on how in fact homophobia within Tunisia might actually help in terms of LGBT visibility. You're on the World Wide Wave.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Web.
sitting here with our candles out, waving them in the air.
That was a bit of an oldie.
Oldie but a goodie.
We haven't got any open flames in the studio. I want to promise you that, if anyone's listening from the studio.
No, it's not about open flames anymore. It's all about mobile phones.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So you're listening to World Wide Web, and that was Alison Moyer with Invisible, and we're talking...
Why Invisible?
We're talking about visibility and how using invisibility as a mean of...
Come out wherever you are.
Changing views on homosexualities, really.
Maybe our listeners have some stories about coming out and how that changed people's views of you. You can send us a message on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. But back to Tunisia.
Yes, and famed American gay politician Harvey Milk always felt visibility was vital to forcing acceptance of LGBTI people in the 1970s. In modern-day Tunisia, Amin has been explaining the challenges of the invisibility of the LGBTI community, but he also points out that the invisibility of homophobia is also hurting them.
Because of not having this kind of, like... big or major visibility for the homophobic act somehow and everything. So the people from outside Tunisia, they don't see it as a real problem or do not really understand what's going on here. But it is a problem. And we state, like, now what the NGOs like Mojahedin is doing is to make it more visible to people here in Tunisia and to the government too, because, like, it is a problem that it hasn't been, like, we didn't, like, talk about it for a while because, like, we don't see it as a problem. Mm. And having this these initiatives, like, working on it and putting a lot of effort means, like, there is a problem and there are problems that has to be solved. There is, like, homophobic act and homophobic behaviors towards the communities. And it's not that open and that, like, liberal as people could see.
And maybe as a tourist, you're kind of sheltered and don't see all that, probably.
Of course, you have, like, the privilege of being, like, a tourist, and of course not any tourist, like, European or, like, from, like, the North, but somehow. And you have this white privilege and the tourist privilege, so... You don't see the thing coming and you're not in danger somehow.
In terms of visibility, I'm quite interested to so Munir Batur has recently announced that as an openly gay human rights lawyer is running for the upcoming presidential election at the end of the year. And Mojahedin is one of the organizations that instigated a petition denouncing its candidature. So if we put the person aside... isn't somebody, you know, an openly gay politician raising LGBTIQ profile in Tunisia just by running as a candidate?
Yeah.
So I know that when some organizations have problem with the person itself, but the fact that he is openly gay, does that change his... Do you think it can have an impact on perception in Tunisia, of general public perception of the community?
Well, it's as a representation, probably it would be something new, let's say. But to be that powerful, I don't think so. Because, like, for this election, I guess a lot of worthless candidates are putting their candidacy to the election, and there are many. And Munir Batur probably, or the person as a gay lawyer, is one of 100 candidates, and it's not that powerful, I guess. And when it comes to the media, I don't know, like, probably it will have media buzz about it for 1 week, probably, and then it will disappear. But, yeah, in another case, it would be, like, the candidate that supported by the community, it would be great for their representation, and we'd be really very happy for that. But in this case, I guess they will not even look at the person as a gay person, but probably they will look at his, like, background and as a lawyer, and being gay would be something that probably he will hide, probably not, I don't know.
Tunisia might have to wait a long time before another opportunity like this occurs, and there might be some changes if he's elected, which is, you said, it's very unlikely because there are a lot of candidates. There will be some changes for the community. So are you prepared to give that away, this opportunity away?
Well, when we deal with behaviors and harassment, we don't really care about the image of the LGBTQ plus community and the queer community, because we know better what's going to happen if you can let someone with this kind of behaviors to have more, and he have already power. Anyway, this is not the point, but I guess it's, here in Tunisia, it's not the president who really makes changes in the country. This is way from the reality. The reality is like parties and Islamic like party and the conservative somehow parties. He's the one who is running the country, and a president is somehow not that powerful that we could like imagine. So I guess gay or not gay, it's not gonna make a change if it's not that powerful and not having a lot of allies from all the parties, political parties. And I guess it's not that losing an opportunity to not support a gay like or an LGBT like candidate when it comes to harassment.
That's Amin from Tunisian LGBTI organisation Mojadeen Tunisia. You touched there on tourist privilege. Do we, going into countries like this, do you think that we see things through rose-coloured glasses? Do we have the opportunity to see the challenges that might be experienced day to day by the locals?
It's probably a mixture of rose-coloured glasses, but also just being in a cocoon. You know, you just don't necessarily go beyond the hotel, resort, confines, beach, shopping strips, and everything looks pretty rosy in a lot of those countries, yeah.
Stefan and Ian, so you both got the first-hand experience in Tunisia. What's your experience?
A very short answer, absolutely, yes.
So did you, when you were there, was there any visibility to an LGBTI community?
The last time I was there was probably before I came to Australia, so probably about 20 years ago. No, not community. Not community in the way we would envisage it now. So I'd be really interested to know what's changed. I think up in Tunis, they're definitely... It's a much more urban society up there, much more mixed, and I would imagine that that's where the heart of community is. And then you've got rural areas where it would be like any rural area in other countries.
And I've got a little bit of different experience because I wasn't in hotel resort. I wasn't in resort, tourist resort. I was, because my dad lived in Tunisia for a long time, and I used to go and spend holidays there. But I wasn't out at the time, so I wouldn't have gone looking for anything. But you know. For me, I was from probably 17 until I was 25. I would go very often, at least once a year, or even twice a year. And from the outsider perspective, there was a lot of tactile thing. There's a lot of affection between men. So it could look like it's not, you know, it's not a problem. And maybe, I wasn't out to my family at the time, so I wouldn't have looked to do anything or to look for anything, because you know, being my dad being quite known in that community, you know, the local community, it's not something I would have wanted to risk. So I was completely sheltered from it, not because of being a tourist, but because of not looking for anything and not wanting to cause way, or not to cause way, but to seek out opportunities.
We've got some more coming up with Amin, and then I want to really try and unpack this idea that homophobia might actually be a part of the solution here. So highlighting homophobia might help with raising visibility. It's an interesting concept. We've got more coming up. You're on Worldwide Wave.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Oh, I want to know just how to love you, the jewel of California. Oh, I wanna skip stones on your skin, boy.
drown me in your water. And my boy like a queen, unlike one you've ever seen. He knows how to love me better. A hit of dopamine, higher than I've ever been. He knows how to love me better. Cause you're safe like springtime, short days, long nights, boy. Tell me all the ways to love you. Cause you taste like lucky strikes, you drag, I light, boy. Tell me all the ways to love you. Ooh, yeah. Tell me all the ways to love you. Tell me all the ways to love you. I wanna tiptoe through your bliss, boy. Get lost the more I find ya. Oh, nah, 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 nah. Don't wanna miss a second of this, boy. Hold tight and love me longer. And my boy like a queen, unlike one you ever see. He knows how to love me better. He knows how to love me better. A hit of dopamine, higher than I. Cause you're safe like springtime, short days, long nights, boy. Tell me all the ways to love you. Cause you taste like lucky strikes, you drag, I fight, boy. Tell me all the ways to love you. Tell me all the ways to love you. Tell me all the ways to love you.
Listening to World Wide Wave, and that was Troye Sivan with Lucky Strike. So continuing the issue, the theme of visibility, where if you can talk about your partner, really, you're a bit more visible. And if it's a male partner as well, sorry.
We've had a message in on 0427JOY949. Clearly, a number of people have been to Tunisia. I feel quite left out. Thank you. We haven't got your name, but thank you. The holiday areas are atypical of the country, much like Bali.
Yeah.
Kind of makes a bit of sense, doesn't it?
It does,
so
yeah.
Not just our rose-coloured glasses going in, but the living in a tourist bubble, I guess.
Yes, all the package tourists are brought in, especially from Europe, to those little airports. Now, whilst not being supportive of the first openly gay presidential candidate in Tunisia, Amin from Maghrebine Tunisia has suggested that a gay president would not be necessary to bring the changes that the LGBT community desperately seeks. So we asked Amin, what really would make change for the LGBTI community in Tunisia?
Unfortunately, I would say it, as I said it at first, but I guess it's not going to make that big change. The biggest change is, with the politicians and the parties and elder politicians and within the political parties in Tunisia. They are very, very, very powerful, and change that we aim to do would be focused on these, not on a president who doesn't have that much power.
As a non-governmental organization working towards achieving equality, human rights, if you had the opportunity to speak to one candidate that has a chance of being elected, what will be your top priority for the community in Tunisia? What do you think the LGBTIQ community needs in Tunisia from a president, from a leader of the country?
Yeah, I guess first of all, it's like to decriminalize the homosexuality and a lot of other that are really very, very oppressing towards the community and towards minorities like sex workers and transgender people and the whole community. This is like the first priority, just to be safe, to feel safe as Tunisian citizens. Not to be threatened by the police and the government would be the first thing. The second thing, I guess, is just to try to change mentalities through, like, education. I guess sexual education is a must in Tunisia, and people are working on it, like, since, I don't know, like, 10 years. And it has to be, like, introduced this. The gender identity, sexual orientation definitions and concepts, so that it would probably make a change in 20 or 40 years after. Yeah. And third, I would say, like, being able to give care to people from the community as they are, like, young people most of the time who are kicked out from their houses, not having a place where to stay, not having, like, chances to work as any other citizens because of the discrimination based on their sexual orientation, gender identity. I guess this is, like, a very important point. The situation, which is very critical, with one here in Tunisia, within the community, I guess.
Well, thank you very much. Well, Amin from Elgin, Tunisia, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us.
I would probably invite everybody to come to Tunisia and to Mojahedin and to Mojahedin Queer Film Festival.
Thank you. Thanks, Amin.
We're going to post a link to the Mojahedin Queer Film Festival on our Facebook page very shortly. Right, where to start? Let's get an update on the election first, because we've now got... Give us the results.
Yeah, so well, there hasn't been an election there. They're in October yet, but they're in October.
Pre-poll.
Yeah, so candidates have to obtain signatures from voters, at least 10,000 voters' signatures, or 10 signatures from MPs, or 40 signatures from mayors to be then... be able to go forward. And out of 97 people that expressed a wish to be a president and to go to the election, only 26 are through to the proper election now. 26, and that includes two women. So Munir Batour, who we had
interviewed,
the only openly gay.
Where did he land?
He didn't make it.
He didn't.
Okay. He didn't make it. So the people, they have until the end of August, so until 31st, till next week to appeal, until the end of the week, so to appeal this decision. So, and I'm not sure what he's going to do.
Interesting, though, that Amin was saying that it's not the president who makes the changes, so that the real power in Tunisia lies with the parties and with the... religious conservatives. So if change is to happen in something like decriminalising, then they've actually got to take a completely different approach. And a longer term view.
I think in countries where the religion is so prominent, there is always quite a lot of, and not just in Muslim country, because I'm following quite a lot of French stuff at the moment, and there's really an underlying current of homophobia, and that's mostly due to Catholicism. So, you know, so it's not just, we shouldn't stigmatize just countries where the majority of the majority is Muslim.
Well, let's talk a bit about that homophobia concept, because Amin was sort of indicating that the fact that homophobic acts, they're happening in the country, but they're not getting any sort of exposure, they're not getting any credence within the country, therefore the politicians don't see it as a problem, the people don't see it as a problem, and the outside world thinks that Tunisia is this bright light in Northern Africa. Should there be, do you think that putting homophobia out there and homophobic acts is actually a pathway to visibility.
Well, in the sense that, like he says, that things are not, you know, to highlight that things are not what the world perceives the country to be. You know, we hear a lot of stories, say, out of Russia, out of Poland at the moment, out of course, in our backyard, Indonesia. And they do, you know, put pressure on the government to kind of respond one way or the other. You know, the response is often not what we want to hear, but at least it, you know, shines a light on those issues and puts those countries on the map. So I suppose that's the rationale just behind the idea that...
And some countries that international pressure, when there are acts, you know, heinous acts, that international pressure actually... I mean, I would imagine if Tunisia enjoys being seen as the progressive light in Northern Africa, then if international other countries came out and started saying, hang on, your rights abuses are really bad.
Particularly a country so reliant on tourism, you know, like the Russians are not overly concerned about the impacts of, you know, possible boycotts amongst LGBTI travellers, but a country like Tunisia could actually have a, you know, an impact, you know, especially as a large proportion come from France, particularly, so, you know, that could affect tourist numbers if stories were released, although it doesn't affect tourists so much.
I think tourists will be sheltered from these stories mostly.
It's a question if they can push those stories out though, if the world starts to see stories and then start
Been talk here in Australia about people saying they're not going to go to Bali anymore because of what's happening in other parts of Indonesia, so it can happen. Yeah, it can have an impact, but it is slow. And I think you're right. On the whole, it's not going to have much, as Ian said, a package tourists.
And I think Amin has definitely got a long-term view. He's talking about education, bringing changes 40 years in the future. So we will keep abreast of changes as they happen in Tunisia. You are listening to Worldwide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambalas from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
I promise that you'll never find another like me. I know that I'm a handful, baby. I know I never think before I jump. And you're the kind of guy the ladies want. And there's a lot of cool chicks out there. I know that I went psycho on the phone. I never leave well enough alone. And trouble's gonna follow where I go. Others, like a rainbow with all of the colors. Baby doll when it comes to a lover. I promise that you'll never find another like me.
I know I tend to make it about me. I know you never get just what you see. But I will never bore you, baby.
And when we had that fight out in the rain, you ran after me and called my name.
I never wanna see you walk away. Cause one of these things is not like the others. Living in winter, I am your summer. Baby doll, when it comes to a lover, I said you'll never find another like me. Never find another like me. I'm the only one of me. Baby, that's the fun of me.
like me. Like me.
You're listening to World Wide Wave, and that was Taylor Swift and Brendan Urie with Me.
And we heard another message in on 0427 Joy 949. Thanks, Jamie from Moorabbin. There's a parallel here in Australia with domestic violence. So this is talking about the visibility issue. Shine a light on the true and get things changed. Thanks, Jamie. Very pertinent.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au.
Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.